take your Bibles and turn to the 136th Psalm, Psalm 136, and of course, a special night. This is the most confusing Tuesday of the year, or Wednesday, or whatever it is. I don't know, but we're here, and we're glad to be here. Of course, a special week. We have Thanksgiving coming up. Hope that you have opportunity to spend some time with family and eat turkey or whatever it is that you do. But don't forget to be thankful. I think these are good things that come up along the year. I think this time of year gives us an opportunity to reflect and reconsider, reset some things. You know, God gave feasts in the Bible to the children of Israel. They were a part of their yearly calendar, and they had a purpose for them. Some of them were to think back about what God had done. Some things, they all kind of pointed them forward and what God was going to do. But here we have kind of a string of things over the next month. We have Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, and I think they provide us all a way to reset. I think Thanksgiving, obviously, gives us a chance to reset our thankfulness. It's here at the end of the year. We have a lot of things going on. I mean, it's busy. If you're in school, it's a very weighty part of the semester. If you're working, a lot of times you're gearing towards year-end type things. There's a lot of things. The summer's a long way away, and it's a long way behind us, and so we're there, and it's easy to start grumbling and complaining. Well, Thanksgiving helps us to reset our thankfulness. I think Christmas is a good time to reset our joy. You know, we remember thinking about what Jesus did in coming to this earth to die on the cross. And then New Year's is a great opportunity to reset our priorities. It's something we can use to help us in our life as Christians if we use it and think about it the right way. Thankfulness is the theme of many of the Psalms. We're in Psalm 136. We're going to be in Psalm 136 this evening, but maybe one of those famous psalms is Psalm 100, the 100th psalm. In verse 4, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." When we enter his presence, thanksgiving is really about all we have to offer. If you were to go visit, I've heard you hear various stories about people visiting royalty, and they'll bring some sort of gift and some sort of token, and it's something that might be impressive, and that is something you think about, like, man, well, how could I ever do that? Well, if you approach the Lord, what can we ever offer to Him that would matter to Him? And so, a lot of ways, our thanksgiving is the thing we have to offer, and Psalm 100 makes that pattern that we come before His presence with thanksgiving. And you know, that's a pattern that's even found in the New Testament. In Philippians chapter number 4, he talks about the path to peace is through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're to let those things be made known unto God. And so Psalms is a book in many ways of thanksgiving. And then Psalm 136 is through and through, from the first verse to the last, is a psalm of thanksgiving. Let's take a look. Let's read. We're going to look at the entire psalm, but let's look at the first three verses here this evening. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." So it begins with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," and then it ends with, if you look all the way down in verse number 26, it ends with, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." And so it ends and it begins with the same concept about being thankful. In the intervening verses, many of them begin with, like in verse 4, "To Him alone doeth great wonders." It kind of begins with an assumption of the beginning, which is, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." So give thanks unto the Lord, to Him alone who doeth great wonders. Verse 5, "To Him that by wisdom made the heavens," and so on and so forth it goes. All of these things preceded by the concept of giving thanks unto our God. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for.
Right.
And I think Psalm 136 provides a great foundation to maybe begin this season where we reset our thankfulness, where we remember there are some things that we have to be thankful for. You know, everybody in here has dealt with different things throughout the year, some good, some bad, some positive, some negative, some ups, some downs. But even on the darkest day, we still have things to be thankful for. And we shouldn't let that which brings us down and weighs us down rob us of that which we have to offer to Him in His presence, which is our thanksgiving. I want to just kind of step through this psalm and look at some things that it frames for us to be thankful. First of all, we need to be thankful for the true God. Be thankful for the true God, verses 1 through 4. First of all, in verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." This is the basis of why we can give thanks in everything and for everything. You know, the Bible tells us, gives us both of those concepts, in everything give thanks and for everything give thanks. And that's hard for us to really grasp and gather on our own because not everything always goes the way that we want them to. But we can do that when we have the proper foundation for our thankfulness. And it's right there in verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why? For He is good. Amen. The circumstance might be good, but God is good. Amen. The details might not be good, but God is good. It might not feel good. But you know what? God's good. Yeah. There's not one day where He has ceased to be good. There's not one day where He will cease to be good. We can give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So we get thankful for the true God. Verse 2, it describes Him this way. It says, "He is the God of gods. None else can come close to Him. No imagination that man can conjure up about a God can come close to the true God." If you look at it there, in verse number 2, it's the God, capital G, of gods, little g. There's a lot of the little g gods there that would describe all the realm of everything that man has tried to invent in order to outdo the true God. But not one thing has ever outdone the true God. Amen. Now, we know there is only one true God, but it's amazing. Man, in all his imagination, has tried to come up with different versions of God that would somehow suit their needs better. But at the end of the day, it always ends up broken. It always ends up a burden where it always ends up in what you see in every other world religion, some sort of system that falls woefully short. But we can give thanks unto God for who He is and know that He is the God of gods. You think about the contest that Elijah had with the prophets of Baal. All the things that happened there during that time of sacrifice. Aren't you glad that your God has never required you to jump up and down on a sacrifice and cut yourself in order for Him to be heard and respond to you? We can go down the list and think about how He is chief and He is superior over all of those things. Every other God, little g God in this world produces fear in its followers. Every God from the pagan idol that is set up that someone falls down to the modern humanist who worships at the altar of even science, as they call it, and sees man as the source of it all. All those little g gods can do is produce fear. But you know what the Bible says about our God? He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can give thanks for the true God. Thankful for the true God. Goes on in verse number 3. It says He is Lord of Lords. Same thing. Capital L, Lord of Lords. That means He's in charge over all. Yes. Now I've got this down. I want to say it just because I want to say it. I like the sentence. I'm going to say it slowly. No Lord lords over our Lord. How about that? That's a southern spin on it, I guess. He's in charge. He's in charge over all. And we're talking about Thanksgiving, time to reset our thankfulness. Sometimes, let's face it, we get a little disgruntled about the idea that somebody else is in charge. But when you think about it, everything I've ever let Him be in charge of in my life turns out way better than anything I try to be in charge of. Amen. So we can be thankful because He is the true God. Be thankful for the true God. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. And then in verse number 4, He does great wonders. Look at it. "To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Now I'm going to encourage you through as we go through this to think back a little bit. I guarantee you about everybody in here at some point this year can think about some great wonder that the Lord has done for you. Amen. Some great wonder that you've seen God accomplish. You can go back maybe a couple of years or even bigger picture and look back and acknowledge that there are wonders that He has done. A wonder, that's something that we look back and go, science cannot explain it. My intellect cannot fathom it. It does not match my instinct and intuition. It had to be from God. It was God that did this. It was God that brought it to pass. We can be thankful for the true God, verses 1 through 4. Secondly, verses 5 through 9, we can be thankful for His creation. Amen. We just concluded a series on Wednesday nights about God's design, and I don't need to recap that, but we remember right at the very beginning, when God created it, what was it? It was very good, right? Amen. God's design, we can be thankful for it. Look at verse 5, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. His creation is perfectly designed according to His wisdom. You know, we struggle to put together a piece of IKEA furniture. But He has created this world, and He did so in a perfect way. Now, we know sin has marred it, and sin has afflicted it, but it was put together in His wisdom. That points to His intelligence. You know, we look around us, and we see evidence that one who is intelligent created this. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't by chance. And you know what? That means that you and I are not here by accident or not here by chance. I don't know why in the world. Well, I know why. I know why academically, but practically, why do people spend so much time trying to convince themselves that they are here by accident? Isn't that the saddest thing that you've ever seen? But you and I know that we're not here by accident. We're here because God created us, and we've been created as all of His creation has in His wisdom. His creation encompasses everything that we need. The sun and the moon have been perfectly placed to provide what we need. Look at verse 6. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. We see over and over again that He is wise in His creation. If you go back to the Genesis account of creation, you look on day 4 and you read about how God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. It describes it in such a way that I always imagine, not in a disrespectful way, but I imagine a child placing marbles in a circle. That's how great He is compared to those great lights and lesser lights. The Bible says He set them there. He put them in the right place perfectly. The sun, 93 million miles away from us. So far, you know, we can't fathom 93 million miles. You know, somebody gets excited if their vehicle turns 200,000 miles or 300,000 miles. We can't fathom 93 million miles. And yet the sun is glorious enough to heat us from that point. But our God is greater, so great, that the Bible says He set it right where it needed to be. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't by chance. No more than you and I are here by accident or by chance. We can be thankful for His creation. He stretched out the heavens. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. If He created it, He's in charge of it. And for that, friend, you and I can be thankful. Man is not going to ever outdo what God has done. Man is never going to challenge what God has done, and God is in charge of it, and God started it, and God will end it when God sees fit to end it. Even in His creation, it points to His divine plan that He has for His creation. We can trust it, and we can rely on it, and we can rest in it. I want you now to consider verses 10 through 15, and we see that we can be thankful for His deliverance. It says in verse 10, to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. The scene here shifts to a reminder of the work that took place when God delivered Israel from the land of Egypt. He skips ahead from creation to that point in time where he brought them out. It shows here that he has shown his superiority. He took that little fledgling nation out of the great nation of Egypt, the great empire of Egypt. He took them out of it and delivered them from it and delivered them from the pursuing armies. He brought his people out from their midst. Look at verse 11. He says, and brought out Israel from among them. For his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. In verses 12 through 14, he overcame the Red Sea. It says verse 14, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. In verse 15, we see that he has smitten the bringer of affliction. It says, but overthrew Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. These things are a picture of God's deliverance of us as individual believers. He has overcome sin, he has smitten the bringer of affliction, and he has brought us out of the midst of our sin. Now, no one in here was with Israel when they were brought out of Egypt, and no one was in here when the Red Sea was parted and they went across. But these things in the Scripture, this story that literally happened, as I believe happened as God said it happened, those things also remind us of how God has delivered us from our Egypt. Amen. He has delivered us from the power of sin that held us. Amen. And not only did he show his dominance and superiority over, you know, the 10 plagues? You know, they weren't just random things. God wasn't just in heaven throwing darts at a dartboard going, all right, today it'll be frogs and then tomorrow it'll be this. He wasn't doing that. They were on purpose showing his dominance and his superiority over corresponding gods in the land of Egypt. Not only has God shown his superiority over death, hell, and the grave. We're not going to tonight for sake of time, but we can go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, where John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, and he was standing there, and he announced that he had the keys of hell and of death. Amen. You know what? You were powerless over hell and death until you met the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You were powerless over sin until you met the Lord Jesus Christ. But he went a step further. He didn't just overcome and be more powerful than. Just like he brought them out of Egypt, he has brought us out of this sin-cursed world. This is what the Bible describes as redemption. You can study it out in the New Testament. Redemption has this idea where he went in and he paid the price for our sin in order to liberate us and bring us out of the slave market of sin. That is redemption. If you can't be thankful for that, you can't be thankful for anything. As a matter of fact, if someone said they can't be thankful for their salvation, I would sincerely question whether or not they truly have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, on the lowest day that you may experience as a believer, you're still a child of God. And we can give thanks for that. We can express our thankfulness for that. Furthermore, I haven't mentioned this, but as we go through this psalm, you'll notice something. You probably picked up on it already. Every verse ends with this delightful phrase that his mercy endureth forever. Reminding that God's mercy was not just evident to the children of Israel in Egypt and coming out of Egypt across the Red Sea, but it is active still today, and you and I have tasted of it ourselves, and we have experienced it firsthand if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, every person in here, if you are saved, you have a testimony of your salvation. Just as the nation of Israel nationally had a testimony, God brought them out of Egypt, he brought them across the Red Sea, he conquered Pharaoh, he proved superior over the foe of Egypt. Just as they had that personal testimony, that national testimony, you have a personal testimony. You know why some believers never once, they walk around like they're sad or mad at the world, they're disgruntled, they're are always upended. You know why? They haven't thought back about their personal testimony of how the Lord delivered them out of Egypt's bondage, as it were. Somebody in here probably just needs to stop life for a moment. Like, just stop. Put the pause button on. And go, let me go back to when the Lord saved me. And we get so enamored with so many other things, we allow even that to be diminished in our life. You would not be where you are now, period. End of story. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not intervened in your life. Somebody said thankful for their marriage. They're thankful for a church. Thankful for all of that goes in some way. If it's a blessing from the Lord, all of it goes in some way, ties into the moment where you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We should never minimize the importance of that event in our lives, just like the nation of Israel never should have minimized the importance of that event in their national life. You and I should never minimize the importance of His deliverance of us. We all have something to be thankful for if we trusted Christ as Savior. We can be thankful for His deliverance. Amen. The fourth thing, verses 16 through 22 here, we can be thankful for His leading. It says in verse 16, to Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. He led them through the wilderness. Anyone of faith could even be thankful in the wilderness because God was leading them through the wilderness. I can't help here but think about David in the 23rd Psalm, where he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Thou art with me. You and I pray to be delivered from the valley, don't we? But isn't God good even when He leads us through it? Can't we be content even when He leads us through it? They could be thankful because of how He led them through the wilderness. You know, the only time they ever got in trouble was when they stopped following Him. You know, it's amazing when you think about their testimony of how God brought them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and all that He had done for them. It's amazing, isn't it, that there could be one moment of their life where they would stop following Him, and yet you and I can be guilty of the same thing. It's remarkable. And you see someone who's been saved in a church and gotten met a spouse, got married in a church, had kids, raised them in a church, and seen God bless in all of those things, and then somewhere along the way think, no, I'm going to do it a different way. And it happens over and over and over again. Why? Because we stop being thankful for what He has already led us through. See the valley, the wilderness, it's often the time that God works the most in our lives during those times. You can't orchestrate, no matter what you do, you can't orchestrate a life of a trouble-free life. A life that only moves upward. You can't orchestrate that. It's never going to happen. We need to be thankful for His leading. He's led us to this point. And you know what? If we're wise, we'll keep following because He'll keep leading us on. Amen. Thankful for His leading. I was talking to some students even today and talking about how God had led me at a certain point in a certain situation. I look back at that and I think, wow, that's great to think. I'm thankful for how God led me. I remember being a college student, getting married, didn't have a job. My wife had a full-time job. That sounds like a great plan, doesn't it? She had a full-time job and I was looking. Couldn't help. And you know what? A job opened up. Got married. I mean, you know, getting married is one of those things you can't, you know, you got to just do it. Whenever you pick the date, that's when it is, you know. And so we got married, and then we were actually on a honeymoon. I got a call. Somebody said, well, you know, I had experience in a certain industry. You want to come work for us. I'd put, sure, go ahead. And I took the job. And you know what? There was another job I was offered after I got back. And I think, well, I even thought about that timing. I thought, you know what? If I had not taken that other job, I would have probably taken the second job that was offered, which would have no doubt distracted me from what God wanted me to do. Furthermore, I had that job for a year. It was a part-time job. It was enough for what we needed. And then, going to expect our first child on our first anniversary. My wife told me that. And I sometimes will ask her, do I remember this right to make sure it's right? And it was right. Find out, expect a first child on our first anniversary later that same day. I mean, within, I think, 30 minutes of all that happened. Within 30 minutes, because I knew insurance, you're going to need all that, going to need to get a full-time job. Within 30 minutes, my phone rang. Somebody I had worked with at this part-time job called me and said, hey, we're starting, this multinational corporation is starting a brand new program, and would you be interested? You've got experience in this industry. Would you be interested in coming on? You get a car, you get a cell phone, you get to make your own schedule, you get to work from all those things. Yeah, sounds good, huh? And you know what? Lord took care of us. And I worked that job, I think it was 2 years. Not because of me, make it very clear, not because of me. A multinational corporation lost over $1 million in this program. And the door opened up to come here full time. Well, that's what God had called me to do. Didn't matter about the money or whatever, this is what God called me to do. And I took that step, and I tell you, I promise you, it was within weeks of me leaving that other job. It was pretty good as far as what they provided and the pay. Within weeks of leaving that other job, they dissolved the whole program. I look at that sometimes like, man, God had a multinational corporation lose at least $1 million just to make sure I had a job when I needed it. You know, I'm thankful for that. And see, what happens is, talking about kind of resetting our thankfulness a little bit. When I think back about that, and I'm thankful for how He led me, right now it kind of helps calibrate me and keep me focused on the right things, because I go, you know what? He did the miraculous then, He can do the miraculous now. If He was capable of dropping me in the exact right spot at the exact right moment then He's certainly capable of doing it again as I need Him to do it. So we can be thankful for His leading. He overcame, verse 18, great enemies. He said, and slew, I love this, how it's phrased, it's talking about their journey through the wilderness. Look at verse 17, actually. He said, to Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings for His mercy. It's not enough that He just slew kings. He slew famous kings for His mercy endureth forever. He overcame great enemies. We get intimidated by so many things, don't we, in this world? But we can look. I can tell you, I don't have time. You're thinking about Thanksgiving. I could stand up here, though, and keep us forever telling stories that I'm thinking about. I remember, again, one time not too long ago where God somehow erased the internet to help us through something. I don't know how He did it. I mean, something that was there vanished completely. Why? Do you think that's too much for God to be able to do? No, see, he does it again and again. His mercy, He won specific battles, verse 20. Og, the king of Bashan, and for His mercy endureth forever. He named him by name. You know, we need to be thankful and be able to name it by name. This is what God has done. He's led me through. And just doing that will encourage us and remind us we can keep going, because He'll do it again. He kept His promises, verse 21. And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. People will fail you over and over again, but God's word has never once fallen. Oh, people make all sorts of promises about things, don't they? People in this world make all sorts of promises. The one that we can always trust is God and His word. Always. Somebody says, oh, try this. Come here. Do this way. Well, God says this. I want to stay true. I want to stay true to what God says, because I know that that promise is, never fails. The fifth thing, be thankful for the His remembrance of the lowly. Verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. Maybe that end line there fits as here as well as it does anywhere. Because we were all of low estate. None of us deserved anything before the Lord. But aren't you glad that His mercy has endured forever? Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation, has to do with our manner of life, our way of living, let your conversation be without covetousness. That natural human desire driven by the sin nature to always want something else and always want something more. That old, the grass is greener mentality. He said, don't let that be what marks your conversation. He says, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you know why we often leave what we have for something else? Because we stop being thankful for what we have. Now I'm not, we should work hard and do all, you understand, I'm talking to, it's not even a Wednesday night crowd, this is a Tuesday night crowd. I mean, this is like the next level crowd right here. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And it's a trap we all fall into where we just forget suddenly. It can happen in a moment, can't it? Where suddenly everything that the Lord has given us is suddenly, for some reason, not good enough. We need to guard against that. Be thankful for His remembrance of the lowly. He provides all of our needs. Verse 25 of Psalm 136, He said, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. I don't think anybody in here is going to have a problem with that. And I'll tell you right now, the Lord's blessed in such a way, in different ways. If you have a problem feeding your family for Thanksgiving, please let me know. We can help you with that. I'm talking about folks that are in here listening, folks that are a part of our church that might be listening on the internet that we know. We could get you something that can help you and be a blessing to you. The Lord's provided our needs, and He says He's made it possible for all flesh to be filled. Why? His mercy endureth forever. The pagan who rejects God, the atheist who refuses to acknowledge God, the agnostic who says he doesn't know God, still benefits from His mercy every time he sits down at the lunch table to eat something. Why? His mercy endureth forever, and it's His mercy that has provided that. He provides all of our needs. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The psalm ends as it begins, similarly to how it began. Verse number 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, we're so geared. I talked to our academy today. Did they have a special chapel on today prior to Thanksgiving? And I talked to them about, Thanksgiving is what it's about. And we looked at how Jesus even gave thanks. He broke the bread and fed the 4,000, seven loaves and the few fishes there in Matthew. It says He gave thanks. You go to Him at the Last Supper. You know what He did? He gave thanks. I asked Him this question. I said, of all the people that live on the earth and have lived on the earth, what's the one person that you would think would not need to be thankful? And it was easy. They raised their hands. Well, Jesus. And you would think that is so. But you know what? That tells us that thankfulness is not just, something we do. It's an attitude of how we live. And so often we attach thankfulness with stuff. You gave me a piece of stuff, whatever it is, money, whatever. So I'm thankful. That's good. Be thankful. But it's more than that. Even if we don't have any stuff, we can be thankful because He's good. We can be thankful for His deliverance. We can be thankful for His leading. We can be thankful that He remembers the lowly. We can be thankful for just being who He is and redeeming our soul. Dear Lord, we thank You.